Blog Talk Radio.
Because the Cherokees was not always there. So they were called Anindiga, which meant we the people. And all the tribes started naming themselves, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we the people. Because that was the first line of the Iroquois Constitution. So when the Constitution was set up here as a remembrance of who they are, most of the Native Americans in their own dialect named the tribe we the people. As a group, because we all had to unite to survive.
And attesting to this fact, Congress passed House Resolution 331, the Iroquois Confederation established the United States Constitution.
What they don't mention is that there were already people here, there was black people already in America, which are the parents of all those people from different parts of Africa.
So most of us were shipped from America to Africa and Europe, contrary to popular belief.
Indigenous people of this land, the Chinese came in, mixed in with them, and produced what you're calling Native Americans today or Indians. And the Caucasian gave them all our rights.
Right.
Now they're walking around saying Cherokee, Choctaw, Seneca, Cheyenne, and we're walking around saying African, African, African.
Do you want to claim one part or the whole thing, Khalid Muhammad?
We got to go up against the world and tell them who the hell we are. Stop letting them tell us who we are. They didn't change who we are in the last 100 years, 5 different times. We were nigger, Negro, Afro-American, now African-American.
We have invented the nigger. I didn't invent him. White people invented him.
And as long as you keep saying you're Negroes and accept organizations like the NAACP, you will never have rights to what is rightfully yours. You with me? But the moment you start saying, I am an indigenous person, sovereign, I belong to a sovereign nation, they can't do jack with it. Because they have admitted in their textbooks that they came to America, and when they got here, people were already here. And all you're saying to them is, correct, I am of the people that was already here when you got here.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of radio station WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6, never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's black power. Right here.
Don't send me no other place, I don't know nothing. Just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. I can't name all the different places now. If I leave anybody out, don't get mad, because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan, yeah. Kentucky, Tennessee, yeah. I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.
Years later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. Now, have you ever wondered what that passage meant from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech? I did, and what I found was one of the biggest secrets that's not really a secret at all, except to many African Americans, is they are not descended from Africans. I know, I was shocked too, so much so that I asked Africans, and they agreed African Americans weren't Africans. If you don't believe me, Google Arnoldus Montanus America and see the people he saw in 1671. Read books like The Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century by Radine Amin-Ra, What Every African American Should Know by Carrie Davis, and Africans and Native Americans by Jack Forbes. I just can't believe schools aren't teaching this stuff. What a travesty.
Halito, greetings. This is L. Rock Smith Bay. You are tuned in live to another episode of our Talk Songs of America Network. Today's show is April 1st in the American Indian. All right. As always, I'd like to thank the Aunt Estes for allowing me to use this platform and give out the information to my people and to the world. I'd like to thank my listeners for tuning in tonight. You know, as always, got my co-host on with me. She gonna, also act as a moderator. She gonna ask some questions if she feels she has any. And as always, the rules, 10 minutes are 10 minutes deep in the show. I'll stop, have a Q&A, question and answer session, and then 10 minutes, 20 minutes deep, nearing the end of the show, I have another break for Q&A. Okay? That's how that's gonna work. All right, now we're going to hop right into the things. April 1st, you know, or April Fool's Day to a lot of people. You know, growing up, you may not have understood what is the origin of April Fool's Day. Growing up, you may not have knew what did it actually mean or where did that tradition come from of fooling people on April 1st. Okay? Well, when we go back in history, we can go back into 1492. We can go back and look at certain dates beginning on April 1st and looking at the deception that was played against indigenous people worldwide on this date with the 1st. April the 1st is a date that's very significant. April the 1st, 1492, is significant because the Moors had their last stronghold, well, their last stand in Spain after a 500-year rule was coming to an end in 1492, and they were being forced out of their homeland, forced out of their, you know, their property and everything. And so the story goes, all the Moors that were in Spain at that time that were captured or rounded up to leave off this island, because they were, it's called the Moorish Expulsion of the Moors, 1492, okay? So this is where that song that comes in, "We Are a Misrepresented People" by Stevie Wonder, saying 1492, right? Now, that's where that stems from, when the Moors were expelled from Spain. But the dirty thing about the story is that as all the Moors were rounded up and they got on ships, they got on boats or what have you, they soon as they left the dock, right, and they got out into the ocean somewhat away from the land, away from the coast, their boats were set on fire. Okay. And everyone was burned alive. That's how the story goes. Okay. And now we can go 200 years in the future. We're going to go to 1621. Okay. And if now we're going to start dealing with North America, specifically Wampanoag territory. If you don't know who the Wampanoag people are, those are the First Nation people who met the colonists, okay, who met this the colonists on his first trip here, where he set up Jamestown. These are the indigenous people, these Wampanoag people. Wampanoag, excuse me. And I'm going to read the story, because there's a story behind. We're going to end this year, 1621. Okay. And I'm reading right off of history.com. And it starts off by saying, at the Plymouth Rock Settlement in present-day Massachusetts, the leaders of the Plymouth Colony, acting on behalf of King James I, making a defensive alliance with Massasoit Chief of the Wampanoags. The agreement, in which both parties promised not, though hurt, to one another, was the first treaty between a indigenous American tribe, okay, and a group of British colonists. Okay, this is why it's so important. This date, April 1st, 1621. Okay, where we did the first treaty. Okay, with the British on our land. 1621. And the treaty goes, according to it, it says, if a Wampanoag broke the peace, he will be sent to Plymouth for punishment. If a colonist broke the law, he will likewise be sent to the Wampanoags. Okay? Just a little case or a little sample of April 1st, 1621. The British Wampanoag Peace Treaty. The peace treaty is essentially a contractual agreement. Okay, it's a contract, it's a binding agreement where each parties are held accountable and they must follow along the guidelines that stated in this contract. Or treaty. So those were just two quick, reasons or, examples of the origin of April Fools. Because I've been tracing it, the history of April Fool's Day. And I traced it all the way back to Rome, where they have all the so-called pagan festivals. Like Saturnalia, okay, Agalia, all that type of stuff. And, I found it to be based, as all holidays are based upon a certain significant celestial event, okay, that is happening within the cosmos, as always, because you're dealing with energy, dealing with planetary energy and alignment, okay, of that energy. So I traced it all the way back. And that is why I found, okay, as far as my research, that was just, again, I didn't even dive deep into it.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So as far as April Fool's goes, I know that there's like a reason for everything, but why is it that everything that's natural, they want to switch it and like alter it and then make it something that we shouldn't even be like practicing?
Right. Yeah. It's like they do that because they want to take you away from your own power, your own, because you have power within, these certain traditions that we follow pagan, or say you're a witch or whatever, simply because you're using or practicing your ancient heritage and culture.
Okay, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Good point. And what's so important about the this April 1st Treaty of 1621 is that it was broken. So basically, you got April Fool's into thinking you had a treaty, and they broke it. As always. Well, actually, they say, well, according to them, they say the peace treaty between the Pilgrims and Massasoit was never broken. Okay, 1621. Huh. That's interesting. And I also work with Tertor. You don't have any. What? Yeah. It is a good time for questions. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. Or you got any comments, concerns, feel free. The lines are open. Okay, I don't see anybody. Wait one more minute. I'm going to continue. Alrighty, no one called in. We're gonna continue. Got 10 minutes left exactly. Okay. And I want to read just a couple quotes I have on my page on Facebook. I talk Cons of America. And if you can't don't know how to spell that, L. Ross Smith Bay on Facebook. L. Ross Smith Bay, and the link will be on that page. Okay. Now I want to deal with the Indigenous Schools of America, i.e. the watermelon. Okay. Because the watermelon is highly associated with who? So-called blacks. Okay. And let's just look at it and see what they had wrote about in history about watermelon in the Indigenous America. Okay. Let's read. It says, the watermelon was grown all over America, two separate types, but they will not give your ancestors their credit. Pioneer ethnobotanist Melvin Gilmore, writing in 1914, was so impressed by his account of his Omaha Indian informant that they had known watermelon from time immemorial that he suggested it might have been present in America before the coming of Europeans. This possibility was reinforced for him by reading early historic accounts of the use of watermelons by Indians over a wide area in the United States and by documented its ability to volunteer. Okay. Well, yeah, that was quick insert on the watermelon. As you can see, you know, it's always tied up with who found in America in pre-Columbian times. And you know, there's many famous or many well-informed people or a spokesperson that are very affluent and very, you know, motivated and at promoting their indigenous culture. And I could write out a list. Turtle Gang NYC, that's a great company that really promotes that. Turtle Gang NYC. Okay. You want to look them up on YouTube, and they go into highly detailed accounts of how to trace your ancestry, and they speak upon the indigenous American side as well as the African side or Australian or whatever, any other side. Another great one is Chief Langley. Chief Langley on YouTube. He's a very heavy scholar. All right. Chief Langley. L like long, A like apple, N like navel, G like God, L like locker, E like envelope, and Y like you. Okay, so that's Chief Langley. Look him up on YouTube. He's a very, very intelligent scholar. He's well versed and has a very deep knowledge on the subject of, you know, dealing with genealogy, how to trace that through state record, how to go down into on a document level, so you can actually literally trace your ancestry. It was always on record. So he's pretty well versed in that.
Is it true that when you put all your information into these sites to find out, you know, your ancestry, and, you know, they come back with, like, you only from, like, Africa, or you, like, Swedish, or, you know, like, all this stuff? Sometimes I feel like that's, like, false, and, you know, how can these people behind a computer screen just, like, know who you are?
Right. Yeah, it's really, it's funny, but it's not funny, because they really, they're scamming a lot of people who are unaware, like, they're doing, these companies are committing this fraud, and it's fraught with limitations, because they don't really, they don't have full information or full database to actually go off of. So that's why it has a limitation on it, but they don't tell you that. Probably somewhere in the fine print or terms and conditions. But yeah, most of the time they have it written out, and they tell you that it's not actual, you know, complete or true somewhere in the fine print.
Right, right. But I guess people just don't read the fine print.
Right. They know they're going to get some dinero. That's all.
Exactly.
Yes. And, you know, this is going right along. Genealogy DNA test. Okay. Our recent scientific finding that have been refuted countless times by many scientists. And you know what's so funny?
What's that?
What's so funny is that, you know, as far as the whole slave trade, just the way they show it, African forces, Europe, Spain, you know, in America. And then you have something totally flip side of the coin, where it's a very crucial part of history that's omitted, but where there was a Back to Africa movement, and almost millions of Americans, so-called blacks, you know, were transported to Liberia. Liberia was created, was literally created by the American Colonization Society. It was created from us. So we created Liberia. We were from here, and then we were sent there. By the Liberian flag looks so much like the American flag. Sierra Leone, you know, many Jamaican Maroons, you know, they call them, went there. Nova Scotia settlers went there. Ghana, the Indians there, you know. And these countries go on and on of the totally opposite way that they show the so-called transatlantic slave trade happened was literally in reverse.
Wow, I never even heard about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, this concludes another show on our Talk Times of America Network. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. I'll be on tomorrow at 10:30 on time zone. And with that being said, your identity is your most valuable possession. Because without it, you are no one. Okay. And also, I want to add, don't forget to hit that follow button, okay, on the Blog Talk, so you can get notified and alerted of any updates. Okay. With that being said, be safe, everyone.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of a radio station, WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.